I've Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin with you. We do have Bandwagons coming up in just about 30 minutes with Jax Gregory, Sweet Young Thang. But Brown Steelers tomorrow night here in Cleveland. We are going to be out and about. You guys are going to hear more of a pregame show tomorrow between JP and I as we are leading you right up to the game and to get you ready for that game. To talk about where the hell we're going with this thing, we welcome on Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hi, Daryl.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Good. How are we? Have we mentioned happy birthday yet, or did we do that on Monday?
We did it Monday.
Come and gone.
All right.
We're on to year number 48.
Look at that. Proud of you.
Ooh, wow.
Proud of you. Some of us didn't think you were going to make it, but you did.
Why does it feel always taboo by some people not to mention their age on air?
Yeah, 48's the new goal. We're past 47, on to 48, and, you know, so it's kind of like the Browns. They're trying to get to win number 3.
Vanity. That's why people don't want to mention
that. Is that what it is? Okay.
Straight up vanity.
There will be a point where I stop mentioning my age, right?
No. Own it. Own it. It's good.
No, I mean, Daryl's, I always do. I consistently say my age, and I'm wondering if I get to a spot where
be 40.
I had no idea how old you were until you said it. My guess was actually a couple years younger, if I'm being honest.
Well, that's very kind of you, but yeah, I've seen some stuff over the years.
I've seen some stuff in Berea. We had Albert Breer yesterday who said he thinks the entire works are going to get a mulligan for this year. As just kind of like some, hey, we all screwed up with the Deshaun thing, and that means Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, and Paul D. Podesta. What would your reaction be if Jimmy gave everybody the mulligan?
I think from a personnel standpoint, that could be a grave mistake because I don't have much of a case to make for Andrew Berry to keep his job as much as I like him both personally and professionally. Kevin Stefanski, I do have a case to make for him to keep his job. But from a personnel side, no. This was supposed to be a window of contention, get this thing over the top, compete for Super Bowls, and this is year 5. It's an unmitigated disaster. 3 of the 5 years are losing campaigns. Yes, there are mitigating circumstances to some of that, but central to the problem, obviously, is the big trade to Deshaun Watson. You have a lot of free agent signings that haven't worked out. You have draft picks that aren't working out and that aren't getting second contracts, high draft picks. We're talking first round picks. Whereas, you know, with Stefanski, you know, setting aside the 2-time coach of the year, he has had to work with 10 different starting quarterbacks. He has won football games with 8 of those guys. 4 or 5 of those guys have won multiple football games. He's never had the guy to play in his system. I think in a moment of true honesty, I don't think Kevin Stefanski would tell you that Baker Mayfield was ever his prototypical quarterback. I don't think he'd ever tell you Deshaun Watson is his prototypical quarterback. That's just what he's had to work with, and so he's tried to make the most of it. Now, someone like a Joe Flacco, as far as the physical stature, the arm strength, the way he plays the game, those 5 weeks with Flacco, I think, was the deepest glimpse into what Stefanski's offense is supposed to look like. They're not running Stefanski's offense this year. They're running whatever the hell it is that Ken Dorsey brought to Cleveland, and we see what a catastrophe that is. So, there is a case to keep Kevin. I just don't know that there's much of a case to keep Andrew Berry other than to maintain continuity.
Daryl, Juan Thornhill's on Instagram posting a photo of Forrest Gump. DeJuan Jones is going after our friends and former media member, still media member, former radio host, Adam the Bull there.
Former friend.
Jeez, my goodness. But when it comes to the two instances, I was telling Nick earlier, I don't believe that would have happened at any other point in the Stefanski regime, where like last night turned into not just one, but 2 things happening. It was very odd, Daryl.
Yeah, and I just kind of feel like both of those players need to just worry about performing on the field and doing what they're supposed to be doing on the field. Less time on the social media, firing back at media people, more time actually doing your jobs.
When you say the social media, now you do sound 48, just fair.
Yeah, that's fine. and by the way, Nick, that was intentional. I totally meant to sound like grumpy old white guy.
I always
guy
call
right
it
there.
The Facebook, Daryl, don't worry.
The Facebook?
Or the book
as long as you don't call it Snap Face, we're good.
Was that
Bill Belichick?
And he loved it. He loved every second of it too.
Yes.
And then
yes.
No, because then he did it. Was it Freddie that copied? Somebody copied that. Was it Hugh? One of the coaches here copied it, and they did it in the exact same term that Bill Belichick did. And it was flat. Yeah, get your own bit. Get your own bit. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of my thing. Hopefully Dewan is able to recover from this. This surgery he had. And come back and be productive. Unfortunately, now you're talking broken lower leg as well as a knee injury that he's had to come back from. And Thornhill's just been a disappointment. Certainly has not shown to be worth the money that he's been given, akin to the JJ3 contract that Andrew Berry gave out, right? Andrew Berry, not good at drafting wide receivers, not good at signing safeties in free agency.
Daryl, looking to the Steelers game, would a win or loss to the Steelers feel different than any other team, given that the Browns have lost to almost every other team?
I don't know. I mean, this strikes me. I'm working on my game preview for the website, now, and it kind of this feels like a game that the Browns aren't supposed to win, but they're going to win. That it just I have that vibe right now. This is a game they're not supposed to win. The Steelers are supposed to come in and stomp them good. But I just there's a part of me that thinks that the Browns are going to find a way to win this game tomorrow night. The home team has won each of the last five meetings between these two teams. The Steelers have not won a divisional road Thursday night football game ever, which I found that to be astonishing. They're 0-7. Tomlin's 0-5 himself. And the Browns, hey, they play well on Thursday night football. They're 6-0 since their last loss, which came back in 2016. So I just kind of feel like this is a game the Browns are supposed to lay a big egg on national TV or Amazon Prime, and they're going to come out like gangbusters and play like the team we all expected them to, and everyone's going to have false hope that this thing is headed in the right direction.
Daryl, I've heard this story from you like four times already this year.
No.
So I think that was the Commanders game.
But you know what? Here's the thing.
The Eagles game.
Jonathan, I'm committed to the bit, and at some point I will be right.
But I see what you're saying. You laid out a lot of stats there with Tomlin. I got another one. Tomlin 2-8 on the road on Thursday Night Football. Last win in 2016. Like, this would be an embarrassing loss if you're the Steelers.
Yeah, and and if you think they're a bunch of crybabies now over the little whatever Myles Garrett had to say yesterday. I've never seen a fan base be crybabies over their team being successful, like in Pittsburgh. They still want to fire Mike Tomlin. That guy's never had a losing season there. He's on his way to his 12th playoff season since taking over in 2007. I think Browns fan would kill for that kind of success here in Cleveland to have a coach do that. Meanwhile, in Pittsburgh, the Yinzers want to throw him out the door. It just speaks to their lack of intelligence down there. But I digress. I kind of feel like that. When you talk about it's not even I can't even call it a rivalry because it just feels like the Browns keep getting beaten with both arms tied behind their backs right since 1999 in this rivalry. It's been a one-sided affair. I mean, the Browns have fired six coaches after losses to the Steelers, most of them in Pittsburgh, right? Guys not getting to take the bus ride home type of situations. But I don't know. There's just something that tells me that the Browns are going to show up tomorrow night because everybody's got them counted out. Also, everybody in the league's going to be watching, and we know how players can get when they know they're being watched by everybody. They give a little extra, and I think that the Browns are going to get a little extra tomorrow night from those guys.
Daryl, how do you do it? Like, what's the path forward? Is it Jameis throws?
Oh, I thought you meant be positive about the game tomorrow.
No. Is it no risky, no bisky with Jameis? I'm just trying to think. Like, what's the path to victory here?
Well, the Steelers play an ugly brand of football. I mean, just look at that Ravens game on Sunday, right? Yes, their offense can get hot, but it really is just an ugly brand of football. The forecast tomorrow night isn't all that great either. I kind of feel like, too, that Kevin Stefanski wouldn't say this, but Nick Chubb only played 22 snaps Sunday in New Orleans. And I kind of feel like they saved Nick Chubb for tomorrow night. So, I don't know, maybe this is the Nick Chubb game that everyone's kind of been waiting for here. We've seen some glimpses from him, but yeah, I don't know that it's going to be optimal throwing conditions, which means the Browns will probably try and throw it 45 times because that's just how things go, right? But for, you know, to beat the Steelers, you can't turn the football over. You have to win the turnover battle. And, you know, you force that offense into kicking long field goals, and you have to take care of your scoring opportunities when you get in the red zone. If you do those things, you got a pretty good shot to win.
Do you think Russell Wilson is good?
Not really. I thought he was washed coming from Denver. I think he's average, but in Pittsburgh with the way Mike Tomlin coaches and the way that defense is and just the organizational culture they have there, average is good enough to be successful. I mean, we'd love
to have
average
tell me
here.
There, Daryl.
What's that?
You don't have to tell me there, Daryl. Well. You're talking to average fella.
Yeah, but you're working in Cleveland, not Pittsburgh, Nick.
That's true. I'd be a god in Pittsburgh.
Yes, you would. You would. You know what, Nick? You're too smart for those people down there. Peterlin, too. You guys are too smart for those folks down there. That's why you're in Cleveland.
We also agree. Daryl, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. And, hey... Go Browns.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll react to what Daryl had to say about this winnable game tomorrow next on 92.3 The Fan.